When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to Simply Serie A. It's been a while, but we are back. Happy New Year to you all, first of all, and a Happy New Year to my good friend and a fountain of Italian football knowledge, Mr. Vittorio Campanile, joining us live from Roma. How are you doing, Vittorio?
Not bad, thanks, Harry. Happy New Year to you as well, and let's hope that it's going to be a nice year after, you know, the last one that has been quite complicated for all of us, I think. And, you know, football has been massively affected. So we hope to get back to the stadium and see some nice football to cheer us up.
Yeah, agreed. Football is keeping me sane at the moment, Vittorio. I don't know about you, but it's the only thing we've got going at the moment. You know, everything else is in lockdown. And you will know that in Italy, it's been just as bad as, if not worse, than it has been here in the UK. So we're struggling in both places at the moment. But as we say, football is our savior at the moment. It's giving us something to do. It's giving us something to talk about and something to enjoy. Now, Simply Serie A is back and we're delighted to be back. It's been a while since we recorded the last episode, but we promise you this time, we're not going anywhere. Due to work commitments, we had to put it on hold previously, but we're back now. The show is going to be bigger and better than ever. And throughout the season, we're going to be joined by some fantastic guests. So I would urge you, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to Simply Serie A on all major podcast stores. It is available everywhere. Follow us on Twitter at Simply Serie A, and we now have a YouTube channel. So if you haven't already, head over to the YouTube channel as well and subscribe. I know some of you are currently watching us live via the Chronicles of Aguna YouTube channel, and we're going to be streaming the first three episodes through there so you guys can get a bit of a taster as well of what it is we're doing. And if you fancy coming over, then come over and subscribe to our channel here as well. Vittorio, let's kick off by discussing the early game yesterday, and that was Inter's big victory over Crotone in San Siro. It was a comfortable win in the end for Antonio Conte's side. But obviously they went a goal behind. They got pegged back when they went 2-1 up. And I, looking at it from the outside in, I'm no Inter fan, but it does feel like Inter always, Vittorio, do things the hard way.
Definitely, definitely. Honestly, after Inter went ahead, I thought, okay, this match is over. Inter's going to win easily. Instead, Crotone find a way to find the equalizer. Honestly, I think Inter should be the team fighting for the Scudetto with Juventus. They are the biggest team. The squad depth is very good. But they find a way to complicate things. This season so far, they find a way to lose matches, to not win matches they should have been able to win. So Antonio Conte is struggling a little bit to find the right formation. Some players like Vidal yesterday, the penalty he conceded was very silly, are not living up the as Conte was expecting. Kolarov as well, signed from Roma, he's not playing as expected. But I still think that Inter should be one of the teams that will fight till the end for the Scudetto. So yes, Crotone, by the way, it's a good team. They play a great football. So it's not easy to beat them. And this shows you that, yes, Inter is not playing a great football. They are very good in complicated things, but they have the quality in the end to pull out very important victories. So it's going to be a very strange season. We already saw it. I think if Inter fix a couple of things, they can really win the Scudetto this year.
Antonio Conte likes to use experienced players, doesn't he? He's always done that. You mentioned Arturo Vidal, somebody who came in. Alessandro Costa Curta, former Milan defender, of course, has come out and had a little bit of a go at Vidal. He says that he struggles physically. Is that just Conte has to find the balance, doesn't he, between getting the physical attributes that he needs, but also having that experience that he so clearly craves? He doesn't trust in youngsters, does he, very much, Antonio Conte?
Well, this summer, Inter was supposed to be very close to sign Tonali, right? One of the youngster more promising in Italian football. And instead, they went signing Arturo Vidal, who, to be honest, I watched him play in Barcelona, wasn't the Vidal a lot of Italian fan remembers as at Juventus. I think we saw the best of Vidal already. And I know a lot of Inter fans are not very happy to see Inter signing Vidal instead of Tonali. So, this is Conte. And I don't know. I don't agree with the movement Conte made. Vidal is playing bad. Kolarov, it's not a good defender anymore. When you had the chance to sign Tonali, yes. The thing is, Harry, Vidal probably it's the mentality to win now, right? Inter has to win the Scudetto now because they signed Vidal and Kolarov. Maybe with Tonali, you had to give him time. So this means that maybe this year you weren't able to win the Scudetto, but probably in 2 years' time, you had a better player than Vidal, because probably in 2 years' time, Vidal is going to retire, while Tonali maybe is going to be in his top form. So I have to be honest, I don't agree with this decision. Said that, I think that Inter has, Lautaro Martinez, that is probably one of the best attackers in Serie A. Hakimi, Inter has a very big squad, but I wouldn't go signing Vidal and Kolarov, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and you mentioned Lautaro Martinez hat-trick yesterday for him, so really, really proving his worth. And what will probably be interesting for Premier League fans out there is the adaptation, I think, in Romelu Lukaku's game. I think he's become a bit of a provider now as well, and that's maybe something you couldn't say previously. He's settled really well at Inter, hasn't he?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I didn't think he was as bad as we saw him playing with Manchester United. I don't think he's, as he said, what was it, last week, top five striker in the world. I think they're a better striker than him. But we can say that he fits perfectly with Antonio Conte tactics. He's become very useful. Still, he doesn't scores a lot in key matches, but he's vital for this team. And, he's able to provide assists to Lautaro Martinez. He scores some goals. So, yes, I think he's doing everything right at Inter. Still, I think Cristiano Ronaldo, Lewandowski, and so on are better strikers than him. But, yes, he's proving that Manchester United, again, have made the wrong decision, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That win over Crotone, 6-2 win, of course, took Inter top of Serie A, but just temporarily Milan, who played later on in the evening, they restored their place back at the top of the table with a 2-0 win at Benevento. Now, the host missed a penalty, and Stefano Pioli's side had to cope for the best part of an hour with just 10 men. Sort of moving away from this game specifically, for those that haven't necessarily been watching a great deal of Milan this season, what is different, in your opinion, Vittorio, about this Milan side? And do they have the capabilities of challenging right until the very end for the Scudetto?
Well, that's the biggest question mark. What changed? I think Ibrahimovic, we thought that he was too old, but he changed the mentality of this team. I think this is the biggest difference we saw. Since Ibra came to AC Milan, the club have completely changed. He's extra confident. He thinks he can win every single match. And now every single Milan players believe it. players, the other players have feed from Ibrahimovic, confidence. And now Milan maybe doesn't play very well, but knows that they have the chance to win every single match. And, you know, you can say that they are lucky. They are not lucky. They simply believe they can win. And when you are so convinced that you can do it, you take every single chance. And often you find a way to win when everybody thinks it's impossible. They didn't play great football. They were one man down, but they find a way to win. It wasn't pretty, but, you know, the teams that win the Scudetto are the ones that find every way to win a match. As I said, I think Inter and Juventus are the better team, but Milan is the most convincing team since now. Now, they're playing not great football, but they believe they can win. And they're doing it without Ibrahimovic. We said, when Ibra is going to be injured, they're going to start losing. They're not. They're still winning. They're still getting points. They lost a lot of players in the last month or so. Still, they're finding a way to win. Can they do it till the end? I'm not convinced. I think Milan is a little bit like Lazio last year. Lazio wasn't the best team, definitely, but they were close to Juventus till the end. So I think Milan can do it, especially if they sign a couple of players now in January. So yeah, that's the biggest question mark. If they're going to sign important players this January, then definitely Milan can do it.
And their recruitment has been quite good, hasn't it, Vittorio, in recent times? Something that you couldn't really say of them necessarily in previous seasons, but of late, they seem to have got their house in order in that regard, and they brought in some really good players. Ibrahimovic, a prime example, you know, somebody that not everybody would have taken a gamble on necessarily, given his age and stuff, but it's really worked out.
Definitely. Theo is probably one of the best defender they have. They have plenty of young and talented player. That's one thing very important, because if they don't achieve this year the Scudetto, they don't win it this year, they have a very young team, except obviously Ibrahimovic. They have a very young and talented team, so they can improve next year, do better in 2 years' time, etc. So that's the very interesting point. And the other side is, I think Pioli has matured as well, the manager. I think he took all the mistakes he have made with Lazio, Fiorentina, and Inter, and have built up from that. And now he's a better manager. He's able to cope with all the problems in Milan had. Because I said it, they lost Ibra for COVID-19. Now he's out for injury. They lost a lot of players. And still, Pioli was able to find a way to put the best team on the field and win matches. So they are young, they are talented, they are young, and they have a manager who's really improving a lot. So I think Juventus is still better, but Juventus is struggling with Pirlo. So they are taking the chances, I think.
Yeah, agreed. And just a quick reminder to those of you watching us live right now across the various platforms, be sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel if you haven't already, follow us at Simply Seria, and follow Vittorio at Vittorio Campa. You'll find it in the description as well. I've already put it in there, so you guys will be able to follow Vittorio and his excellent work. I can see some of you are putting some questions in the chat box. Keep hold of those for a little bit longer and I'll come to you guys. I'm just conscious of them disappearing in the live chat and then I can't find them later on. So hold fire on the questions and we will do a short question section at the end of this podcast. Vittorio, you mentioned Juventus. That leads me nicely on to Juventus, who, of course, defeated Udinese yesterday. They won by 4-1. Andrea Pirlo has come out and said this wasn't the best Juventus. And I think we can all agree that it hasn't been the best Juventus all season necessarily. What are you making of Project Pirlo so far? How have you assessed his tenure up until now?
Well, first of all, it was a huge surprise. I mean, I think nobody expected Juventus to sign Pirlo.
Why do you think they did, Vittorio? Why do you think they did? Is it finances? Why do you think they went down that route?
Well, finances is probably one of the reasons. I think Andrea Agnelli wanted to do something special, something different. Pirlo was, a great football player. They believe he's going to be a great manager. They signed him for the under-23 team. And then when they sack Sarri, they decided to put in the first squad. So that was a little bit of surprise. Maybe they didn't have the money to go and sign a great manager. Maybe they're waiting for Guardiola. They were waiting for Guardiola and things didn't happen. I think Pirlo made some mistakes in the season. He's a very young young manager, so he needs time to improve. At the same time, this Juventus team has a lot of talent, but for example, they don't have another number nine if Morata is injured. And yet, yesterday, Morata wasn't fit. He didn't play. So they have some players like Rabiot who maybe is overrated. So it's not easy. The manager has to improve and the player has to understand what Pirlo wants. Again, yesterday they didn't play great football, but they won. And yes, they lost badly against Fiorentina. There's going to be up and down this season. For various reasons. One for the manager who hasn't got the experience. The other one is for the players. But so that's why Milan has a big chance this season. But I think they are slowly improving match after match. So it's going to be interesting because will be Pirlo able to win the Scudetto this year? I think that he has the best team and they have Cristiano Ronaldo, who's a difference maker, even if he's getting older. But yeah, it's exciting. It's curious to see how Pirlo performs.
Yeah, and what it does do is it's blown the Serie A race wide open, hasn't it? Which is a good thing because Juventus' dominance has been something that those who don't necessarily follow Serie A have thrown at it as a bit of a criticism. You know, Juve's dominance makes it boring, etc., etc., etc. I hear that all the time whenever I have any discussions about Serie A with people. And it would be nice, wouldn't it, to have a season where somebody else wins the Scudetto and it just kind of, you know, resets the whole league and the whole balance of things. But I think you're right. I think Juve are slowly improving under Andrea Pirlo. The problem is with teams like Inter and Milan, and we're going to come on to talk about Lazio in a bit and Napoli. Everybody seems to have these periods, don't they, over the course of the season, apart from Juventus, where they're a sustained period of downturn. Juventus do have them, but they seem to be shorter than everybody else's, or at least they have been in recent seasons. And that's ultimately made a difference. Let's discuss Lazio a little bit. Your team, Vittorio, I know you're a big Lazio man. How can people check out the Lazio Lounge, by the way? Let them know how they can go over there and check it out.
Well, yeah, you can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, search for Lazio Lounge. We are also on YouTube. We have a YouTube channel, Lazio Lounge. You can find it there on Twitter, same thing. So, yeah, if you want more about Lazio, unfortunately, this season is not going very well. But, you know, if you want more info about Milinkovic Savic, who has been linked with various Premier League clubs, you can check it out.
Great stuff. Please do that. Lazio, of course, stumbled again this weekend at Genoa. They took the lead through a Ciro Immobile penalty, but they were pegged back by Destro's goal around about the hour mark. That leaves Lazio currently in ninth place in Serie A. They're 6 points behind Napoli, who are currently in fourth. What's going on this season, Vittorio? You know, you mentioned earlier on in the program, Lazio were very close to keeping the pace with Juventus last season. They did really, really well. All of a sudden, it feels a little bit like they've fallen off the wayside. Is it down to Simone Inzaghi? Is it down to the group of players? What do you put this dip in form down to?
I think it's the mentality. The players have achieved a big result, reaching the Champions League, the qualify to the group stage. They beat Borussia Dortmund. Now they're going to play against Bayern Munich. It's going to be very, very tough. But I think in the Serie A, they have relaxed a little bit. And we have to say that the competition in the last 2 years have improved a lot. Even the small teams are playing great football, like Crotone, Benevento, and so on. And this is the reason why Lazio is losing points. The target is to go back to the Champions League. I think it's going to be very complicated because Napoli is playing much better. Roma is a big surprise for me. Atalanta is still playing amazing football. So I think this gap is worrying because I don't know if Lazio is going to be able to recover these points. If you drop points against Genoa, who's struggling, he's fighting for relegation, then it's going to be really complicated. Still, I think Lazio has amazing players like Milinkovic-Savic, Luis Alberto, but except Ciro Immobile, they're not playing at their level. And this is one of the reasons why Lazio is struggling this year.
There's been a bit of talk about Simone Inzaghi's future. I read something a few days ago. He says that there's no problem with the contract talks. Do you see him staying on for the long term still at Lazio? And do you want him to stay on? Or do you think maybe if this season does prove to be a little bit of a struggle, maybe a change and a freshen up at the Olimpico would be a good thing?
Well, he should have signed a new contract this summer and it didn't happen. So there's something going on. But I was quite surprised to hear Simone Inzaghi saying in the press conference before the match, saying there's not going to be any problem. We're going to sign the new contract soon. So I believe he's going to stay. I thought this summer when Sarri was sacked by Juventus that he could go there. There have been rumors that he could go to Juventus, rumors that he could be the next Inter manager if Conte fails to win the Scudetto. Let's not forget that Inter is out of the Champions League. This is a big disappointment for the club. So there were rumors that Simone Inzaghi could go to Inter Milan. So I'm a little bit surprised he said that he's going to stay. I don't think this poor performance is due to Simone Inzaghi, even though he should try and change something. But I think it's more due to the players.
Yeah, fair point. Let's talk about your local rivals, a club that I can imagine you have not got a lot of time for, but Roma. They're continuing their pursuit of a Champions League place. It was an Edin Dzeko goal from close range that eventually broke down Sampdoria. Roma are going pretty well this season, aren't they? They've been pretty solid. When I watch Roma, I don't always think that they're particularly good to watch. Maybe I've just caught them on the wrong days, but they're being very efficient so far. They've got 30 points on the board in 15 games, so they're averaging 2 points a game. Just 6 points behind Inter in second. Are you convinced that Roma can maintain their charge for a Champions League place this year?
Well, your friend Mkhitaryan is playing great football, and that's one.
I was going to ask you about that. Go ahead.
That's one of the secrets of Roma. Roma has three very experienced and good players in front. They have Dzeko, they have Pedro, and they have Mkhitaryan. Those three players are making a big difference. And those are the secret of Roma this year. That's why Roma is playing so well. Dzeko is scoring, Mkhitaryan is scoring and creating a lot of chances. Pedro is playing great football. So I think Roma, if we don't talk about AC Milan, it's another big surprise because I didn't expect it to play that well. And they're going to fight for the last spot for the Champions League, I believe, till the end of the year. Now, they should have beat Juventus at the beginning of the season. They lost 2 points there badly. They've been dominated by Napoli. And they struggle against AC Milan. But apart from these three matches, Roma played great football. So the question mark is how they're going to perform when those three players are not going to be able to play. Because we're talking about players that have passed the 30, and you know, you can imagine that they're not going to be able to play all season long, especially this season where you're playing every 3 days. Yeah. So that's the question mark. But I think they have been very good in building the club, the team this year. They have a problem with the goalkeeper. Both Mirante and Paolo Lopez are not convincing, but I think they have been very smart in building the team. And definitely seeing Lazio performing so bad, I think they have a shot to get back finally to the Champions League spot. It's going to be exciting because I think there's Napoli, Atalanta, Lazio, Roma, all fighting for that last spot. So that's going to be, I think, very interesting. And it's going to be decided in the last couple of matches of the season, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we're in for a real treat this season. You mentioned Henrik Mkhitaryan there, and he's obviously a player who spent some time at my club, Arsenal, didn't necessarily perform all the time, showed glimpses, showed signs of what a good player he could be. I was one of the people that sort of noticed his good performances in Serie A a little while back and constantly made the point on Twitter that, you know, actually, is he worse than some of the options that Arsenal were currently turning to? And I was getting dog's abuse from Arsenal fans who were saying to me, you're crazy, what are you talking about? But Mkhitaryan has, as you said, Vittorio, really shown his worth at Roma, and it looks like he's finally found a home again.
Definitely. You know, sometimes you're not the perfect fit in one club. You change club and you're back again to your top form. Mkhitaryan was a great player. He didn't show us all his talent at Arsenal. Here in Roma, first year he wasn't that great. He had to adapt to a different type of football. But I think Fonseca is using him the right way. He's giving confidence. He feels the trust of the club. And, you know, playing close to Dzeko, it's making things much easier, I think, for him. So he has pace because, obviously, the other teams are marking Edin Dzeko more. So he has space and he's showing his talent. And, yeah, to be honest, after seeing him play at Arsenal, I was surprised to see him playing like that. But he's one of the reasons why Roma is playing so well. So let's see if he's able to keep it up all season long, because let's not forget, it's going to be a very long season. Playing every 3 days, let's not forget that Roma is in the Europa League. And it's hard, but I think Roma has a chance to win the Europa League if they keep playing like that. So I would be shocked if they give up the Europa League competition, because they have a chance to win something.
Yeah, for sure. And just to quickly back up the point on Mkhitaryan, 15 appearances in Serie A this season, 7 goals, 6 assists. And in the Europa League, he's got 1 goal and 2 assists in just 5 appearances. So he's certainly been very consistent and his outputs have been very, very impressive this season. So credit where credit is due. Henrik Mkhitaryan seems to have turned his career back around. And you know, even as an Arsenal fan, I know he played for Manchester United and it didn't really work out at the Emirates Stadium, but I'm glad to see Mkhitaryan doing well again, because he is a player with undoubted talent. And, you know, there's no hard feelings here. I'm delighted to see him. Probably more delighted than you, Vittorio, being a Lazio fan, to see him.
There are so many Manchester United players that are doing well in Serie A. Smalling, he's playing for Roma, and maybe last year he was playing better. Now he got some injury that didn't allow him to play as well as he did last year. But he's one of the key players of this Roma team. Alexis Sanchez, he's not playing a lot because obviously with the Lautaro Martinez and Lukaku in front, he doesn't get that much time. But when he has the chance, he's performing at good level. He did an interview a couple of weeks ago saying that he didn't find the right fit at United, and in Inter is completely different. So, you know, United fans, I don't know if they're very happy seeing all these former United players playing so well. You know, let's not forget Lukaku as well. So, yes, sometimes you change country and you find the right confidence, you find the right rhythm, and you start playing great football.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Sometimes players and clubs just don't fit. And that, just going over to some of the live questions, Sergius asks how Alexis Sanchez is doing since leaving the Premier League. Vittorio has covered that. But of course, thank you for your question. It is very much appreciated. Just the kind of final team we're going to touch on in a little bit of detail this week, Vittorio, is Napoli. A convincing win at Cagliari. Fourth in the division at the moment, doing pretty well, going pretty well. Of course, after Carlo Ancelotti left, Gattuso took over. I was always very much, you know, and we'd had discussions about this, I think, in the past on this show. We talked about Gattuso. Is he quite the top level of manager? He's a good motivator. He's got all of that, the passion, the fight. But are you starting to be convinced a little bit more now by Gennaro Gattuso after seeing a little bit more of him and now at a different club as well?
No, I think I stick with my opinion of last year. I mean, he was very good when Napoli was really struggling. Last year was not only in bad form, but bad position in the league. He was able to immediately improve the team and get it back to Europa League level. This year, they started really well. I thought a couple of months ago, with Juventus struggling, with Inter struggling, I thought, you know, this could be the year of Napoli. Instead, they start losing matches. They lost against Lazio. They didn't play great football in a couple of matches. And then you go and see the team. They have hell of great players. Insigne, Mertens. Really, Napoli has a lot of talent. And you wonder why this team, with a lot of talent, is not able to play great football. And I think this is due to Gennaro Gattuso. He's a great motivator, but he's not a great manager. Napoli cannot play great football, and this is due to the manager, I think. So, and I believe that a lot of Napoli fans are realizing that, that Gattuso is probably a Europa League level manager. He can get you there, but Napoli deserve to fight for the Champions League, maybe to the Scudetto. And so he's not the right manager for that. And he showed it at AC Milan and in other clubs. So he did a great job in recovering Napoli when they were struggling last year. But this year, when you need something more, he's proving that he hasn't got that. So
And that's what motivators do, isn't it? They come in, they pick up the attitude, they pick up the spirits, and that gets you only so far, though, doesn't it? After that, you need to have a little bit more about you in order to go on and progress, and in order to become what you need that side to be. And I agree with you on Gattuso. I think he's got all the passion in the world, all the fight in the world. He's a great motivator, and you only have to look back at his days as a player to understand that. But in terms of tactically, in terms of maybe sort of going that extra mile, I'm not necessarily sure that Gattuso is cut out for top level management. And as you say, Napoli, full of talent, a side that have been up there or thereabouts in Serie A for a few years now, they need to be pushing on that little bit further.
They should be able to play great football. Instead, you see the team and they struggle to play. I mean, you have Insigne, a lot of quality, even in the midfield. I think Napoli has one of the best midfield in Serie A. And still, they struggle to play great football, to move the ball fast enough to create chances. So, and you wonder, is it the players? No, the players are there. I think the manager is not able to build a great football, you know, a plan to give the team an identity. Napoli has passed from Maurizio Sarri, that probably was too offensive-minded manager. But, I mean, when that Napoli was playing, it was amazing to see, to a Napoli that has a lot of talent, maybe even more than that team, but is struggling to show it.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Totally agree. That brings us towards the end of this week's show, our first show back. Don't forget, like, subscribe, review. You know the drill by now. Just one final question that I'm going to put to you, Vittorio. What's the kind of general feeling, and this is a listener question, by the way, what's the kind of general feeling in Italy now about Serie A being affected by the coronavirus? Is there a worry that Serie A might stop again? I know here in the UK there have been rumours that perhaps a break may be enforced, just a short one to try and stop it, because we've lost a number of matches here in the UK in the top flight in recent weeks due to test results. Is there that worry in Serie A? What's the general feeling in Rome where you are now?
No, luckily no, because there haven't been these big problems. Now, there is Juventus-Napoli, that is the match that has to be recovered. And this is a huge problem because it's going to be quite complicated. Both teams are playing in Europe and they play every 3 days. So they really don't know when they're going to be able to play this match. But at the moment, the situation, at least in Serie A, in the lower leagues, there have been some match postponed, and this is going to be complicated. But no, at the moment, things are fine. Now, the biggest problem is the economical side, right? Because big teams, but even small teams, are losing a lot of money. Still, no fans at the stadium. None.
So they did bring some back, though, didn't they? They did bring
them back. At the beginning of the season. At the beginning of the season, but they stopped pretty much immediately. So clubs are losing the match day revenue. That is not only tickets, but it's merchandising. You know, you go to the match, you buy the scarf, the shirt, etc. So we are seeing a lot of clubs closing the annual revenue in a financial problem. So this is going to affect the winter transfer market, definitely. They're talking about loans, not big clubs able to buy players. And so this is going to be important, because if the situation will continue till the end of the season, then we're going to see big clubs struggling and forced to sell players. But luckily, the season should go on. They're not talking about stopping the league. They're talking about when fans will be able to attend matches. Yeah. But I don't know. Maybe we are talking about February, I think. Not earlier than that.
Not earlier than that. Yeah, but that's the thing, isn't it? Is that if the league can continue, that is obviously progress. And you know, as I said, here in England, there are concerns around whether there should be a break or not. There's been a bit of discussion about it in the last few days, and we're going to have to wait and see how it goes. But it feels like, you know, the way that games are being postponed right now, probably in the last three or four match weeks, we've probably had one every time. Which is a bit of a worry. Let's just quickly wrap up the results from week 15 in Serie A. Atalanta 5, Sassuolo 1, Benevento 0, Milan 2, Cagliari 1, Napoli 4, Fiorentina 0, Bologna 0, Genoa 1, Lazio 1, Inter 6, Crotone 2, Juventus 4, Udinese 1, Parma 0, Torino 3, Roma 1, Sampdoria 0, and Spezia 0, Verona 1. So that concludes the results from week 15 in Serie A. We're going to be back next week with another show. My thanks to Vittorio Campanile once again. Get over there and follow him at Vittorio Campa. You'll find it in the description. Vittorio, thank you so much, mate, and stay safe.
My pleasure to joining you. And yes, stay safe, you too.
Thank you very much. Thank you to every single one of you who's joined us. Don't forget, hit the like button, subscribe, leave us a review. You know the drill by now. We'll be back next week with more Serie A talk. Until then, take care. All the best.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.